The Lord Jesus Christ wrought great and wonderful miracles, and all of us know that the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels are filled with these. The Lord worked such mighty wonders, and there were no questions about their realities. They were real miracles that you could, if you were there, you would have seen it physically, okay. You would have been moved, you would have been amazed. But to be, it would have been a very tangible thing you would have seen. Real miracles that the Savior worked. Why did he work them? To impress the people? Of course not. Now he had to work these miracles so that he fulfills prophecy. It was prophesied of him that one of the things that will mark him out as the Messiah was that he would work miracles. Such an extraordinary miracles that no one, even the Old Testament prophets, had not wrought. And so clearly it was to show him as the Messiah. But there's another very strong reason why the Savior worked this miracle. Of course, he also worked them out of compassion for people. He wanted to meet needs of the times. But that wasn't all. Because the Savior was so compassionate that if he wanted to really deal with the compassionate aspect of it, he would have healed everybody in the whole nation. But the Lord didn't do that. He selected some. Why? Why, friends, there's another strong reason why the Lord did these miracles. He did them in order that they become like an acted sermons. They are there to show us how he deals with souls also. So that as you looked at him and you saw him deal with that physical disease, it reminded you that this is the same way he deals with the soul also. And so they were like acted sermons, the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of them. In fact, in the Old Testament, the various diseases that the Savior healed are clearly shown as pictures of human beings and our state before Almighty God. And so we want to think of this particular miracle, and we would want to understand it from that point, that they are like acted sermons. Something the Savior is teaching us about how he deals with us if we come to him. I may not be physically sick as this person, but I am spiritually like this person. I hope you would see, especially if I have not come to know him for myself. Verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now we are told that the Savior went to the northernmost part of the region that was given to the people of Israel, that was in Tyre and Sidon, the northernmost part. And when he was coming southward toward Galilee, he went eastward and went through the Jordan and then came to the Decapolis, all these places. Now, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, tells us that the Lord in the way actually healed a number of persons. They brought him such a large number of persons, and the Lord healed every one of them. It is out of this number that the Holy Spirit moved Mark to select one of them. Because his case seems to have been very striking because of the way the Lord healed this man. And so out of the many, Mark picks out this one whom the Lord would heal. And we are told there in verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. So this is the one that Mark picks upon, so that he makes him a picture of how the Lord deals with souls also. This man was a deaf and had impediment in his speech. He could not speak properly. He could not hear, and then he could not speak also. Why, friends, what is a picture of us? It's a real case. They brought a literal man like this. The Lord would deal with him. But at the same time, it pictured us. And it will show how the Lord blesses such people. How are we like deaf persons? How are we like people with impediment in their speech? Why, it's this. We are also, until we are converted, if you are here this morning, and you've never sought forgiveness of sins, and a change by the power of the Lord, this is a picture about us. We are like deaf persons. Why? Because we cannot hear. Our friends, we have this strange inability to simply listen to the Lord. We will listen to our friends. We will listen to everybody. Everybody's case will seem appealing to our ears, but not the Lord. And this is particularly true with us who are young. Oh, how sad it is when you are young. You are so full of your own ideas and ideas from friends and ideas you gather from the internet and such places. And how you believe them. And how you trust them. Sometimes you don't even know who posted them there. Who, what is his credentials? See, one of the things that always I marvel at is how much young persons live their lives in the hands of musicians. So that their ideas about life is actually shaped by musicians. And many of these musicians are young persons. They didn't know anything about life. And yet they will believe them. And they will listen to them. And the ideas they've woven into their music will seem more attractive to them. And this is a picture about us. We will listen to all these persons, but we'll never listen to the Lord. Isn't that strange? The one who knows all things, who knows every detail, who knows the human life and every aspect of it, we will not listen to him. That's us. We are deaf because we don't want to listen. Not only that, but he also had an impediment in his speech. He could not speak properly. This is a picture of anybody who isn't converted and not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you pray? Can you call upon the Lord with all sincerity? Can you cry to him as your only hope and your all? When troubles come, where do you go? Whom do you call to? Can you praise him? If you cannot pray to him, you cannot praise him either. Of course, you may learn. You know, I don't know whether people do that because they think they are respecting God. You see that people generally seem to be thankful to God. They seem, I say seem, and I stress that. Oh, thanks to God, they say. Yandin Yanko for us, or something like that. They said that very quickly. And they simply goes out of their lips, perhaps, before even thinking. Oh, but friends, how can they praise God sincerely? Whom they do not pray to. Whom they do not trust. Whom they do not love. How can they praise him? Perhaps even the praise they think they're offering him is a kind of work they want to do in order to earn a kind of favor from him. That's what they want to say, the nice things about God. Oh no, my dear friends, that's all we are. See, friends, until you are really converted, you will never discover how to really call upon God and to trust him in genuine prayer. I'm not saying you cannot learn about those people who go to the parks and try and attempt to pray, clapping their hands on the Lord. Why? If they knew God, if they knew whom they were dealing with, they would not do such things. How can anyone clap upon Almighty God when he's before the King of Heaven? Who go before the President? And he has a petition for Hatcher. And he goes, and every statement he claps on the President, and he claps. Of course, everybody will think this person isn't normal, isn't it? Oh, the problem is people really don't know God. They're not aware that they're dealing with a personal God, far greater and far mightier and glorious, so that we are like dwarfs before him, nothing at all. And so they dare do that. The very day they come to know him, they will pray genuinely. They will pray with reverence. They will pray with deep respect and with deep dependence upon him. But friends, we can't pray because we are sick. Friends, there's something wrong with us. And so this man is deaf and has an impediment. And the Lord will deal with this man. What is striking in this passage is this. That Mark gives us so much details. And the Lord himself healed this man with so much detail. He normally doesn't do that. In fact, the miracle he had wrought right before this one, according to this record, the Lord did that by virtually saying nothing. He simply told the woman, go to your house, you go and your daughter is all right. Why did the Lord not heal this man the same way? Was it because when he had finished healing the woman's demon-possessed daughter, his power had diminished, his power had gone down, so that now he had to go through all the details? Oh, of course not. His power can never go down. He is God of infinite power, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he go into the details? Obviously, for the purpose that he wants us to learn from it. Exactly how he deals with souls. If we come to him as people who are deaf and have impediment in our speech, we are stubborn in heart, we cannot listen to him, we cannot trust him or pray to him and praise him, how will he change us? If I came to him, how will he change us? I'd be amazed how beautiful the details are that marks Jesus. So just look at it. And in verse 32, let's go on from there. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Watch this very carefully. Every detail counts, my dear friends. The Holy Spirit deliberately recorded them. So we learn the lessons. And they beseech him to lay his hand upon him. Now, those who came with this man came to the Lord and said, probably, sir, would you please put your hand upon this man and heal him? Now, this time the Lord didn't listen to them. Look at verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and he put his fingers in his ears. He didn't listen to the people's request. Why? You see, these people thought it was cheap. Lord, would you put your hand upon this man and heal? It was easy for the Lord, because he had infinite power, but it was important for them to discover that for God to do this for us requires so much mercy, requires so much condescension coming down in order to bless. Now, when you apply that to us spiritually, this is what it means. When people think that conversion is easy, they never find the Lord, they never really come to him. They think, for me to be converted, all that needs to happen is simply I go to a church and pass, raise my hand and say a prayer after the pastor, and it's finished. No, my dear friends, you have that idea in your head. Most likely you will never genuinely come to the Lord. It reminds me, whenever I remember it, it seems a little funny to me. I remember some time ago in Cape Coast, I was driving one of our church minibuses, and I gave a man a lift. And when we got to where this man was coming off, I didn't know for what reason. He was really trying to quickly get out of the bus. I hope I had not scared him or anything like that. But he wanted to get out of the bus so very quickly. And so he was he got hold of the handle and pulled it so hard that it broke. So the handle simply broke. And that's the funny part. He looked at me and handed me the broken thing and said, "Oh, sir, just put a glue on it." Well, it wasn't that easy. Anyone who has tried to work on a car handle knows it doesn't take a glue. They may have to change the entire thing. Now, the point is this. He thought it was so easy. Just go and get glue and finish it. Now, some people think they may come to the Lord in the same light-minded way. It's so simple. Again, oh, it is easy for the Lord to save souls, but it's costly for him to save. He had to come down as God and take on our nature and go to the cross of Calvary. If anything less would have done it, the Lord would have done that. He had to come. So this is the lesson. If you would truly come to the Lord, what the Savior did on Calvary's cross must awe you to some point. You must be amazed. Why should the Son of God come? For me, I committed the sins, I told the lies, I had the pride, and he came. And to bear such a shame upon himself for me. We have to be amazed, friends. Are you thinking salvation is a small thing? Friends, I fear you will never taste it. Because it isn't. It's the most costliest thing that God has ever given to man. The most expensive thing in every respect that God has given. And so, this time the Savior didn't listen to them at all. Instead, this is what he did. Verse 32. And he took him aside from the multitude. And this is also significant. Why didn't the Savior work the miracle in the midst of the multitude? He's done that before. Why this time he took this man away from the multitude? Why? Because he would teach the lesson. When it comes to God dealing with you, it is not just for popular eyes. God doesn't bless sinners. You don't seek salvation so that you will match up with your friends. Oh, all the friends I go to church with, all the friends I go to school with, everyone has come and said, oh, I'm a Christian now, and I also want to become a Christian. Even my parents are pressurizing me. And they said, oh, when will you become a Christian? When will you become converted? And so I just want to become a Christian. People who want to come to the Lord that way never find him. My dear friends, you come to a point where you realize this matter is between I and the Lord. It doesn't belong to anyone's eye. I am here with my sins before the Lord to beg him, to plead with him in repentance, and to put my trust in him and ask him to wash away my sins and change me. I do not care about any eye. I do not care about anybody. I am not impressing anyone. I'm not doing it for anybody to clap for me and to really be nice to me. I'm doing this because I need him. I need him to wash away my sins. Friends, this is how you come. You come personally, recognizing your own, need. I need the Lord to bless me. And so the Lord takes this man aside. So it's between him and the Lord alone. Oh, friends, verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. This is interesting. Again, the Lord did this to show us that the very faculty that is faulty has to be dealt with. It's the ear that has the problem. And so the Lord puts his fingers in the ear. He would touch the tongue also very soon. He also speaks and touched the tongue. The ear had trouble, the tongue had trouble, and the Lord had to deal with it. My friends, it's tremendously helpful for us. If you would come to the Lord sincerely, you have to open up to him where your problems are. Tell him. Now, the problems we normally have when we come to the Lord are only the surface. There's so much more. But if you sincerely tell him what is at least obvious to you, it shows that you are sincere. You come to the great physician, and where the faculty is faulty. You know, we said this here before. Every one of us, you would realize that you would have some particular sins you would easily admit, these are my trouble sins. Every one of us. Before we come to the Lord, what is it? You can identify yours. What is the trouble sin that makes you realize your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? You better tell him. You tell him what the sin is, specifically and exactly. Lord, I have problem with this. I have problem perhaps with my temper. Perhaps I have problem with pride. Perhaps I have a problem with wanting to impress people and things like this. You tell the Lord exactly what the problem is. But to your surprise, you realize there are so much more. You know what the fishermen tell us? They say that when they go to catch fish, when they go over the sea to get fish, sometimes those who are very experienced, the very mature fishermen tell us, they go on the sea, and then sometimes they would see that the place where they had gone, they would not see a lot of fish as such. They may only see a handful, say a dozen, on the surface. But they would see that the color of the ocean at that place is changed. And those who are experienced would say, when you see these few number of fishes on the surface and the place and the color changed, it tells you there's even much more below. And so those who experience, they wouldn't wait at all. They'll quickly throw their nets
And lo and behold, they bring in a great catch, and they were successful. As you know, that since we know only the surface ones are the few dozens, there's so much more within. If this colored everything, there's so much deep things. But you see, the Lord is so merciful. When we come to Him and we bring Him what we know and what we are aware, He has so much mercy. He's able to deal with us and wash out even those we do not know, and to put in us a new nature and to bring us to Himself. And so the Lord Jesus touched the exact faculty of this man. He put His fingers in his ears. It's the ear that had the problem. And then look at this other. Don't overlook anything. These were recorded for our learning. Look at verse 33. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers in his ears, and He spit and touched his tongue. Probably this is part of the reason why the Lord took this man aside. Because the Lord will do something that may even seem disgusting. The spitting, the saliva. The Lord spit upon this man's tongue. We don't know whether he spat and got a little of that on his fingers and touched this man's tongue. If onlookers were there, people were watching, what do you think they would have said? This is disgusting. But why did the Lord do that? Wasn't it absolutely necessary that the Lord should do that before He could heal this man? Oh, of course, no. The Lord could easily heal this man with the word. But why did He do this thing? Once again, for our learning. Friends, it's this. Do you know, if somebody wants to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and God opens his eyes and he begins to turn away from some of the things he had regarded as a benefit. And in fact, those he was in a kind of a group with or regarded as a benefit, and he is turning away from them, they look at him with disgust. What is happening to this man? What is happening? Is he getting sick? Sorry, like Zacchaeus, you remember him? We told in the Gospel of Luke, this man had built his entire money empire by lies and cheating as a tax collector. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ without the Lord saying anything. He gets up at the table and says, "Now, Lord, I am dividing all my property into two, and I'm going to give half to the poor." Okay, don't say anymore. No, he has more to say. "And the remainder, I'm going to pay back anybody I have cheated, and even pay him four times more." If his fellow tax collectors were there, they would say, "Oh, I think this man doesn't know the value of money now. I think this man is still losing his head." It appears so disgusting to people. Onlookers. You know, we often say this even to the children. There's a man called Fred Charrington. A young man deliberately trained by his parents to come and head a very prosperous business at the time. His father had deliberately sent him to Europe and other places to give him special training to become an excellent manager. This young man comes up preparing for this very promising job, and he becomes converted. And he goes to his father and says, "Father, this kind of job, we produce alcohol, we produce beer. I wouldn't do it. I can't be a head of a company." His father said, "What? What is happening to this boy?" In fact, the father was so mad, he said he should never see his face again. He didn't want to have anything to do with this young man. There are people, when the Lord touches your heart and you begin to desire Him and you want Him more than anything, and therefore you say, "I want to willingly turn from this thing, even though it's so beneficial to me, and yet I see the sin in it. I do it by sin. It goes on and prospers by lies. This kind of business survives by deception, and I cannot do it anymore." And your friends who are in the same business say, "Let me tell you, even pastors want money.
Why don't you just be in it and give your tithes or something like that? Why stop it altogether? They cannot see. You seem so disgusting before them. Throwing away money, throwing away opportunity, throwing away status. Oh, friends, but you've seen something. No one else has seen it. Look at this man. Of course, saliva is it's disgusting to everybody, isn't it? Well, our own saliva is not that disgusting. It's in our own mouth, so there's no problem. But that's of another person. It's always uncomfortable. Ah, did this man stand there quietly to let the Lord touch his lip, to touch his tongue with the saliva? I'm sure he did. When people are sick, they are willing to submit themselves to all kinds of things. You know that. I'm sorry I had to bother you with this. I remember years ago when I was a young man, where we were living, I forget what the disease was, but a certain woman was so sick, and they brought in some of these herbalists, and they prepared some concoction. What they put in that concoction, I wouldn't tell you. Otherwise, I would so bore you this morning. I wouldn't tell you. But even that aside, they were going to put the head of houseflies in them. So they caught a number of houseflies. I remember I saw them and put all the houseflies in them. And they were going to give to this person to drink. I asked him, did she drink or not? Oh, she drank. She drank it. When people are sick, they don't care about anything. I think there's a better choice here. When your eyes are open about the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't care about anything. Let people call it disgusting. By all means, I don't mean that's a questionable drink. But I mean, really seeing him. They wouldn't understand you. Why give up this? Why turn away from this? Why forgo this? All because of Christianity? Oh yes, for the Lord, for him, for the one who died to save you. My dear friends, have you come to the point where you begin to discover that which appears so interesting, so profitable, but you also are aware it comes by sin? It's trapped with some wickedness. And are you willing to let go? If you are willing, it shows how sincere you are to come to the Lord and to turn your life to him. If you are unwilling, and still want to claim to the sin because of the benefits, it doesn't matter what you pretend doing. You cannot bribe off God. You cannot say, oh Lord, allow me to lay hold on this aspect which is beneficial because I will share with you some of the benefits. I'll give part of the money to your church or some of the things. You see, oh, let me pursue that. When I get it, I'll be able to do this. Why, friends, make this the first thing. I want the Lord first. And I leave the rest with him. Oh, friends, that's how we come to him. Would you come, my dear, if you're not a Christian this morning, would you come, overlooking even that which appears disgusting in the eyes of the world, because they are beautiful. They demonstrate that your eyes are opened, and you are seeing higher and wonderful and glorious things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins, contact with God, to have him as your Father, to be a child of heaven, to be under his rule and government, to have his word change you and make you a new person, and then he will take you away with him when this life is over. Have you seen them? And are they more valuable to you than anything else? Even though the world calls them disgusting or whatever they want to do. And then verse 34. And looking up to heaven. Why did the Lord look up to heaven? To let this man see, this is where your help comes from. To be blessed doesn't come from human beings. Friends, if you want to come to the Lord, it's important to remember that. If I will be changed, it doesn't come from any man. The Lord must himself come in and change my heart. Oh, friends, this is the biggest fear we have with those who are running after prophets these days. And their confidence is in them. Thinking,
Do you know, friend? I tried to follow this trend a little. And you are amazed at the courage of people. Do you know that the idea out there nowadays, I hope no one here this morning has really given your head or heart to any of these things. The idea out there is that, whatever you are doing, you need a prophet to be guiding you, to be seeing things for you. Do you know, it's become so popular that people are making it a part of Christianity. Why? I'm a young person. I want to start a business. Oh, I need a prophet. So that prophet will be praying and be giving me oils to smear it upon things. I will be seeing things and be telling me, hey, tomorrow don't go to Accra. Go next week. Something like that. Some people think it's so normal. Friend, see, the fear is this. As long as this kind of confidence is placed in any man, they will ever be blind to the Lord. The Lord, in order to bring him to... Friends, God does not allow us to put our trust in any man. He hates that. He hates that. He wants us... He would have us be thankful for people who are useful to us, by all means. People who have helped to us, he wants us to be thankful, by all means. Oh, to put our trust in them. So that what they say seems to be fine now. Oh, this is so abhorrent to God. And so the Lord lifted up his eyes to heaven, even the Lord of glory, so that this man will say, your blessing come from above. It must come from Almighty God. And this is even more so with conversion, friends. When you come and see your sins and see what you've done, friends, remember, you cannot change yourself. You don't have the power. Don't say, I now see that I'm a sinner. I'll just correct this and correct that and correct this and I think I'll be alright. Friend, that wouldn't do any good. Go straight and say, my help must come from the Lord. He must wash away my sins. He must give me a new heart. He must receive me as his own. He must bless me. Otherwise, everything is hopeless. You must go to him, my dear friends. And go personally. And then, our verse again, our verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed as if he was grieving. Why did the Lord sigh? Because obviously, he sees that the misery on earth has come upon us because of the fact that we are cut off from God. And this grief, the Savior. Oh, we are sinners cut off from him. We have brought our own miseries upon ourselves. We are the cause of our own troubles. And the Savior says, those of you who know your Bibles, remember that before the Lord had raised Lazarus, he did a similar thing. He sighed so that it's clear to us that his sorrows for our sorrows. So the Savior identifies as it were with us and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Do you know, when I come, we like to stress this kind of thing, my dear friends. And we say that if the Lord should help us, we would always stress that. Sorry. If somebody comes to the Lord saying, he's understood the gospel, he's understood that he's a sinner, he cannot save himself. The Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to purchase forgiveness of sins. And he comes and he repents of his sins and calls upon the Lord to save him. This is a thing that we often stress. The person is called upon the Lord and cry to him. He must see that the Lord has heard him. Why are we saying this? The person should not simply walk away, assuming, because I went to pray and all this, I am saved. No, that's not how God deals with us. When he deals with us, he speaks directly to our souls, and the blessing will be seen. And so we tell people, look for the signs of grace. Watch for the signs. If God is worked in your heart. And so look at what followed in verse 35. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And so there was the evidence that this man had been blessed and had been healed. Look for the evidence, we tell people. The Lord works. You remember sometimes he heals people and he says, go to the priest and let the priest examine you and see that the miracle has actually been wrought. He does not leave us to assume. Please. He does not leave us to assume that, oh, because why? Why should we look for the evidence? But let me only mention one thing. Because, you know, sometimes somebody would say, yes, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, God will not hear him. Because most probably, he's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ plus something else. So when he says, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it's true, he's trusting him. But plus something. But such a person wouldn't be blessed. The Lord wouldn't hear. Our trust has to be entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Often preachers in the past will put it this way. Even if our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ were 99.9%, that would be deficient still. There's a problem. You wouldn't trust, your trust isn't such as would be blessed of the Lord. And so we tell people, look for the evidence, because if you called upon the Lord, did he hear you? Did he open the door? Did he wash you? Did he give you a new heart? Did he change you? Did he give you power over sin? So then look at this verse, in verse 35, exactly the very thing the man could not do. He now does it, 35, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And so the very thing this man could not do, he now is given the capacity to do. Am I delivered from the power of my sin? Am I given a new principle? Abel, I am not perfect. I will still be tempted by sin. But am I given that heart which inclines entirely towards the Lord? I want to live for him. And I want to love him supremely. And I want to follow him. He has to put this into us. It is his work. It is his work alone. He gives it and works it for those who sincerely come to him. And so we direct people to the Lord always. You go to him, go sincerely, call upon him, repent of sin. Use your life to him, hide nothing. Never pretend, never be superficial. Never do it to impress people. The Lord will notice and he wouldn't bless. He would know in insincerity, and he would withhold the mercy. Go entirely, and then the blessing will be whole and entire. Friends, my time is almost out. I would have told you a number of such cases we have seen. People, oh, there was a woman I remember years ago in Cape Coast. You know, it's helpful to understand these things, my dear friends. It's very helpful. No, one time she had been visiting our meeting for some time, and one time she came up to me and said, that, Pastor, do you know something? I think that I've been able to stop some sins. She put it this way. You have been pointing to me. You have been able to change me from some lifestyles I couldn't stop. I've been to churches and no one could get me out of that life, and you have changed me. Now, if a person begins to speak this way, you think it's a change? A change you can attribute to a man? Oh, sure, it is questionable, isn't it? And so we saw there was something fishy about this. And we knew we cannot take it seriously, that this is conversion. And lo and behold, after a while, she simply vanished. And no one knows where she is now. Oh, I can multiply that, my dear friends. People who appear very sincere, who appear to have repented and come. We always urge people, you're not dealing with church. You're not dealing with a pastor. You're not dealing with anyone. This is why the Lord took the man aside. It's you and him. Oh, friend, this is the opportunity.
make sure He truly blesses you and He changes you. Go genuinely. Open your heart to Him. You cannot tell Him everything because you don't know enough. But tell Him everything you know. Never hide any motive. Never hide any interest. I will just keep it elsewhere and really say exactly what they want me to say. Friends, I have to finish. It's the danger we see in our churches. It's the down, I don't want to call it downside. It's a little challenge we face with Sunday school work. Through the years, the Sunday school young persons go through the Sunday school and they know exactly what to say. I've told you this before, isn't it? That I read the testimony of those who have become converted, and if an adult is converted and a young person who's gone through a Sunday school is converted, and the two of them are writing their testimony of how the Lord saved, you can see the difference. The Sunday school young person knows exactly the words to use. And I saw my need, and I repented, and I trusted Christ, and I was justified. See, He knows all the terms. Because He can easily be carried over. Of course, over the years we know. And so we say, look for the evidence. Evidence of a changed heart. Changed ambition. Changed interest. Because He can learn all the terms. It's easy. And then young persons in their teens and twenties are very clever. Give them the books to read. And they know the exact terms. You know. And they use them. And we are dying for them. Some of them surely are genuine. Oh, but friends, be genuine, can I urge you? If you are not a child of God, go to Him. Shut your mind to everything else. And say, all I want is to be a child of God. To have my sins washed. I give the future to Him. I leave that to Him. I only want Him to wash away my sins and make me His child. Whatever else happens, let it be in His hand alone. If you trust Him, this won't be difficult, friends. And then He will bless you. You will see the evidence. You'll be amazed. I'm finished, friends. Look at the passage. Let me jump to verse 37. And the people were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You will be amazed. Is this what God can do? Such a wonderful change and such a wonderful infusion of a new nature into me. Please come to Him. He works in detail. It's not a superficial work. He must work deep into your heart. Change your perception. Transform the heart. Put a new desire there. Remove the love of sin. Destroy the desire to be impressive in this world and for the things of this world. He has to change all those and give you a new perspective. And then He makes you know you are a child of God. Come to Him, friends. Because He's able to save. Because He died to save needy sinners like us. Let's pray together. Oh God, our gracious Heavenly Father, give us grace this morning, each one of us, to be amazed at this work, such deep work in the soul. Oh Lord, such wonderful things that Thou doest in those who come to Thee. Grant that none of us treat this matter of salvation lightly. Oh, let us be moved that God Himself had to come down to secure our pardon and new life and bring us to seek Him. If we are still far from Thee, bring us now that we may know Thee and walk with Thee. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's close our worship singing together from hymn number 416. Hymn number 416.